Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin here with you on this Monday. Titans fall 23-16 to the Colts yesterday. 0-3 on the road, 2-3 overall on the season, and lose their first division game as well. We say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. And Hutton, not a good way to start the division schedule for the Titans, as consistently inconsistent. That's basically what they are to this point this season. What's up?
Hey, good to see you guys. Yeah, you're right. I mean, this was one of those weeks where you were going to find out, okay, is this where the Titans begin to stack some things together, find some consistency, hit a groove, rhythm? No, just more of the same. You know, lose one, win one, back and forth, losing on the road. And, yeah, you leave with more questions than answers. And unfortunately, that's becoming more and more of the trend of this team, where you feel like, okay, if they get this area figured out, then they'll be able to establish their identity. And offensive line wasn't an issue yesterday, at least in the pass protection, but they lost the battle up front in the trenches on both sides of the football. And ultimately, that's why they come back to Nashville briefly at 2-3 overall.
Yeah, how much do you think not having Tierre Tart available on that defensive front contributed to them giving up 193 yards rushing, 165 of those yards to Zach Moss?
Well, I mean, Tierre Tart's a good player. That can't be the focus of why they gave up what they did to Zach Moss. Moss, you know, he's being compared to Le'Veon Bell in the postgame locker room by Simmons and Byard. But Zach Moss is no two-time Pro Bowl, all-pro type player like Le'Veon Bell was in Pittsburgh, right? Like, we have not seen a running back carve up a Titans defense like that to that amount with 145 yards or so. 165, excuse me. I don't want to shortchange him. 165 plus since Dalvin Cook did it in a stadium that I was there in a cavern of no one during the 2020 season in Minnesota. That's the last time a back did that to this defense. It's been a while. So I don't just point at Tierre Tart. I do think, you know, Tart's absence combined with Simmons and the injury, that can certainly play a factor. But this was more than just one or two players. This was a defense that was handled. And up front especially, Chase, this is a problem against that Colts front that Jim Irsay has been preaching. Be more like Tennessee. Tough-minded, more grit, more, you know, pissed off for greatness, so to speak. They brought that yesterday, and they matched the Titans and then some compared to what we saw from Tennessee.
All right, Jonathan, five games in, give me one thing positive about this football team.
Well, there are some positives, Joe. You know, look, everyone, the joke would be Nick Folk, right? The kick is up and the kick is good. That's good, but not good enough for what this offense needs to establish. They need to score in the red zone. What's good is they have brought in a veteran receiver that's actually producing to the quality that it is expected from DeAndre Hopkins. That's number one. Number two, offensive line pass protection has been better at times than expected, but when they've been really good, they've either won the games at home, or whenever they have been awful, it's been a disaster, and it's no middle ground, right? And the flip side of this is when the defensive front, Joe, is a storyline, this team wins. And when they don't make the headline or make the couple bullet points below why the Titans played well, they're not going to win those games. The definition, the identity of the team in a position is behind that defensive front. And when they're good, they can be really good. They can win with this style. And when they're not, it's just, you know, the average run-of-the-mill football team, and that's what we saw yesterday.
I just see – that's a great positive. You're exactly right. The negative part of this, I don't see the camaraderie. It's just weird to me. Like, there's something missing.
I'm with you, man. No, the whole offseason was like this. You know, the offseason was – it's a stretch to say one foot in, one foot out, because I don't want to see a team tank on purpose and bottom out and just, you know, mail in a year where you feel like in the division you can still be competitive, and they can. They can. Also, think about the AFC picture right now compared to where we were in August with what the Jets look like without Aaron Rodgers, with Cincinnati and a banged up Joe Burrow. There are the things that certainly open up for you if you win this week against Baltimore and London. Point being, the offseason was, okay, two straight years they've drafted a backup running back and a backup quarterback. They need speed at wide receiver, and the answer in the draft primarily was a running back to help in that area. And the misses at the on the offensive line have come back to haunt them, to where they don't have many answers, more questions, more cross your fingers and hope no one gets hurt. And the group that is here and healthy, hopefully they play better than what they've done as backups at previous stops. Joe, it's interesting. You know, I mentioned Byard. He's a great example, right? Like, I don't remember his name being called all that much yesterday. But the stars of this team, quote unquote, are not called often whenever we see performances like yesterday either. And that's on both sides of the football. And the camaraderie, yeah, it does have a vibe of where's this team headed after week eight? Where are we after Halloween, after the trade deadline? I'm not saying they're trading a bunch of players. I'm simply saying, where are they record-wise compared to where they thought they'd be? And they're probably still searching for that answer, much like we were searching for an answer in the offseason of what this team was going to be.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. So you've done this London trip before. Now, Baltimore left this morning. They've elected to basically be there all week. The Titans are scheduled to leave on Thursday. What goes into the decision of when a team wants to leave? And do the two teams have to communicate that with each other to avoid some sort of competitive advantage, or is it just kind of whatever works for the team?
Whatever works for the team. Buffalo. So a great advantage for Jacksonville to be over there for 10, 11, 12 days, whatever it was, against Buffalo after losing the previous week. Against Atlanta. This comes down to, does the team want to get in and get out, or do you want to go over there following a road trip? You know, and that's what Baltimore's doing. They're flying from Pittsburgh straight there. In the Titans' case, they're viewing this as, we'll get over there and we'll arrive on a Friday morning, go through some walkthroughs, and use our practice facility to the best that we can before we depart. And I'm looking at the time here, Chase. I'm making sure we're not running over, and we're not. That's good. Going over there a few years back, the Titans stayed at this castle, and it was more like it was a castle. It wasn't like Buckingham Palace. But they had like this back area. It wasn't a yard. It wasn't a lawn. They referred to it as the lawn. It was just like, you know, the 2 or 3 acres worth of space, but it wasn't practice worthy. You know, they rode horses on this area, and, you know, you turn an ankle. It wasn't up to quality. But that's, again, on the facility and going over there and making sure that everything's right. And you still can't guarantee that everything's going to be picture perfect. I'll also use the example. We've seen the Titans go early and stay. I was a part of the trip in Arizona for the final Malarkey year. Lost in Arizona, stayed in Arizona, flew to San Francisco, then came back, and they ended up losing both of those games too. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to it. The jet lag is real, though. I do buy into it. I've made a few long flights. That flight, for whatever reason, zapped me, and it wasn't until game day where I actually felt like I was on the clock. Maybe that did affect Buffalo a bit, but it was still a low-scoring game. And no matter what, Chase, stop the run and run the football. That's what the Titans have to do on Sunday against a good Baltimore team that, like Tennessee, when they've been throwing the football, they've been dropping passes. Catch the football when you have the opportunity. The Titans in Baltimore would have a much better record if they would do that.
We're talking to
Jonathan Hutton.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, I know. You hit on something else. All right, we talked about, you know, Hopkins looks great. Tannehill yesterday was good. But, you know, when a defense can't stop a running game, and I wonder what the stats are. If you have 193 yards in a football game, there's probably 99% chance you're going to lose that game. And, you know, the defensive line is just kind of, you said it earlier, you know, when they're the talk of the game, they dominate. But there's that disconnect, too. They seem they had no answer yesterday. If I'm a Titans fan, I am so frustrated at what I saw yesterday. It's not even funny.
Well, and it's third down, Joe. Let's in both sides of the ball. It was a total team effort in the bad third down spot that they were in. If they're going to have a winning season, third down has to turn around. Because right now on third down, no team in the NFL averages fewer yards per play this season than the Tennessee Titans. Mm. Again, that's third down. They're really good on first down, fourth in the NFL on yards per play. If they win first down, they generally win the game. On the flip side, the Titans defense in games where they have lost 83%, or excuse me, when they win, they get off the field 83% of the time this season on third down. And when in the two losses, 50% is their rate of going back to the sideline on a third down play. Every Colts drive after that punt on their first possession went 40 or more yards, and it had at least one third down conversion. The Titans, I think, we should mention that this is not like the scoreboard was really lopsided here, but I never felt like the Titans were really in this after that possession following where the Titans went down to open the second half after getting the stop at halftime. Four plays, 75 yards, touchdown, and then Moss and company drive right back down the field and go get points. That was kind of the storyline here. And it's not all about points yesterday. It was just about conversions. And the Colts just drained that clock, and they drained the life out of the Titans sideline. That's how I view the game. And again, normally that's what the Titans do to their opponent. And identity-wise, they can't find that consistently.
No, they cannot, and we'll see if they can try and do that on Sunday in London against Baltimore. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll be listening to you in Withrow today starting at 2 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan.
Thank you so much, guys. Always enjoy this. It's a good kickoff to the Monday, and have a great week.
You too. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick. Again, 2 to 5 weekdays, 94.9 The Fan is where you can check out Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. And look forward to that. We'll wrap things up with final reaction to the Titans plus celebrity birthdays. That's next, the Chase and Big Joe Show presented by Regal Realty Group on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.